Moncrief on News Talk.
You know me. I'm happy ending gal. So, what you've written is a romantic tragedy.
Well, I mean, how is a woman alone in a garden a tragedy?
Well, not today. It's not today. It's Tuesday. I mean, hello. But in 1846, when this takes place, a woman alone at the end would be a tragedy.
That's and just like that, you can watch the entire series and the finale this Friday on Sky Comedy and Now TV. James Dempsey is with us once again. James, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Is this a hate watch for people who like Sex and the City?
I was literally just reading an article from last week in The Guardian just before coming in which the writer of that said she didn't so much hate watch it as hoped watch it every week in the hope that like it would live up and somehow improve and get better. I think the biggest problem with And Just Like That is not that it's terrible, terrible. I mean, it's bad, but it's just mostly, you know, to use modern terminology, it's very mid, right? Like, yeah. As in, there are moments where the characters feel like, oh, yes, those classic characters that have been on our screens for 30 years, right? 20 years, I guess. And then there are just other parts where they're in a completely and utterly different show. Mm. Now, the creators of the show, Darren Star, and then the kind of showrunner of this, Michael Patrick King, have always gone on to great lengths to say that this is not Sex and the City, right? This is, and just like that, a new chapter in the Sex and the City universe, right?
Mm. Well, no, it's like the MCU now.
Yeah. Right? But I think the problem with framing the show like that is, yes, it is a different show, but it stars three of the characters of the, you know, 75% of the cast of the original. And it is built off the back of our understanding and our appreciation of that previous show. Now, what it has managed to do, I think, is sort of wipe away a lot of the talk about how bad the films were, right? The two standalone films, which came obviously between the original series and this one. And not that people don't still acknowledge that they're very bad. They definitely are like renowned absolute turkeys, although very critically absolutely torn apart, but commercially very successful. But this came along right at the beginning of the, like, I guess, post-pandemic reintroduction to normal life with the hope of nostalgia, right? That's what they were selling us, nostalgia in designer shoes. And they took some very big swings in the first season, which is much more somber than I guess people would have expected, right? Yeah. I mean, not to go into major spoiler territory, but it takes a very somber tone. And that was a direct reaction to the complete and utter critical evisceration of Sex and the City 2, the movie, in which there's a whole subplot involving a visit to Dubai that is so tone deaf that it is like ridiculous. So they deliberately went for that, I guess, trying to take a temperature of the world and where we were at, not realizing that when people return to the kind of nostalgia fountain, what they want is a fizz of the nostalgia and nothing more, right? Now, we have moved on to our third season, and what they've kind of done is overcorrect where they needn't have. Obviously, a huge criticism level towards the original run of Sex and the City is that it's, you know, this very white version of New York, and instead they introduced three, you know, sidekicks of color basically in the first season. One of whom, Che Diaz, the non-binary Mexican Irish comedian, quote unquote, slash podcast host, right?
Not to completely, that takes a lot of boxes, isn't it?
Yeah, not to completely damn them. Yeah. But two of those have fallen by the wayside in, you know, since season one, and frankly, we're missing what special sauce they brought to the show, as far as I can tell. All in, my biggest criticism of the show is, it just doesn't really seem to move the characters on along, right? Mm. The framing device of the original series is Carrie is this sex advice columnist.
Yeah.
Well, just sex columnist, I'm not sure, right? But she is, you know, the experiences of her and her friends as 30-something women in New York, going out, meeting men, dating, meeting women, dating, having sex, etc., fuel the narration of the series and fuel kind of the plot line, right? Mm. Whereas this time around, Carrie doesn't write for a magazine anymore, so the first season doesn't even have a voiceover, as far as I can recall. And then when they do reintroduce it, it has morphed into this third season version of Carrie writing a historical novel set in the 19th century, in which the lead character is the woman. And the woman, you know, we get snippets of her sort of writing taking place. And like, it is laughably naff and bad. I mean, and there's a whole,
deliberately so.
I mean, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I think are, because everyone in the show who reads her novel is absolutely enamored with her, the brilliance of her prose, is what we heard in the clip practically earlier. So it just seems that they have completely lost sight of how to tell the story of these women. They knew how to tell it when they were in their 30s. They kind of had a few ideas how to tell it when they're in their 40s. Now they're in their 50s and burgeoning 60s. They have no concept of what to do with these women beyond, you know, I guess there was a hip replacement, I think, in the first season, and probably talk about a facelift. But like, other than that, they're not really exploring their relationship. Like, even Miranda, who people absolutely loved from season, you know, the original run, was this icy, sardonic, witty person. And now she's like this unflappable meme who, or completely flappable meme rather, who, you know, has a girlfriend whose only kind of personality is two Italian greyhounds, right? Like, yeah. it's become incredibly bland and boring. Basically.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is this one on Friday? That's it. The whole thing is over.
Yeah. Now, I mean, yes and no, right? Well, yes. Not that I have some inside scoop. I don't. I just think that, like, Carrie Bradshaw is too valuable an intellectual property that we will never see her again. Right.
Okay.
Like, I cannot see this not happening, that there will not be some reiteration of Carrie in some form. Maybe her novel will really take off, right? But like, there will be so, I just cannot see another 10 years going by with HBO thinking, let's see what the girls are up to.
Yeah, yeah. And in this particular season, is there a story arc? Well, you know, what dramatic revelations are we hurtling towards that are going to take place on Friday?
So I guess potentially the biggest thing we're hurtling towards is Carrie as just by herself, right? So, you know, the big change that happens in the very first episode saw her rekindle a romance with Aiden, who was a secondary love interest in the original series.
Yeah.
That then devolved into this very bizarre, will they, won't they, they're going to, but actually not for 5 years, but we'll see what happens. I will talk on the phone, we'll send racy postcards, etc. And eventually they're not, right? Mm-hmm. And now we have Carrie, the finale episode is all centered around a Thanksgiving dinner, going to a Thanksgiving dinner by herself with 7 pies. And we'll see what happens.
That all sounds a bit sad.
You know, like, yes and no, right? I guess it's a bit disappointing, because I remember watching the finale of the original run the year I did my Leaving Cert. Like, I remember it coming out just before that June and sitting down to do those like exams, and it is like absolutely scored into my brain of like the Carrie in Paris and it all falling apart and Big showing up and blah blah blah, right? And this time around, there's nothing particularly memorable about the storylines.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you what the main beats are beyond Carrie's romantic history. But like, if you ask me what Charlotte is up to, okay, there's a plot about her husband having prostate cancer, but like, she's very much sidelined in that as his nurse to some degree.
Yeah.
But like, it's not. That's it. Like, you know, it's not really her story, right?
Yeah,
like,
as no, in, she's the she's husband's
a,
story.
She's
yeah.
a supporting character in her own plot in the show, despite being on the producing credits of it, right? Now, look, she's got a rewatch podcast going, Kristen Davis, so she's doing okay, I'm sure. Right? Again, another kind of faux pas they made is they're all incredibly wealthy in it, right? Like, as in, they have no struggles financially. Their personal struggles are kind of fairly tawdry and boring. Yeah. And then, you know, the kind of big reveal of Samantha in the second season, filming a scene in a car because of the notorious falling out between her and Sarah Jessica Parker, didn't really achieve something either, right? Mm. So it's just kind of like they returned to the well to get a bucket of water and found that the well had very much run dry.
Okay. Is it funny even? Because a few people have texted about like they like the kind of, you know, it was kind of zippy, the original series, the dialogue, that kind of thing. So I think there's of that there.
Like there's less of the zippiness in my opinion, right? Mm. Part of it as well is that in the original run, the women would meet and have brunch and that's when the kind of quips would be happening. And then the voiceover quips, etc., etc. This time around, the stories are much more siloed. Like we have obviously the three women and then their various love interests and family lives. We've got the one or the two remaining newbies, that's Seema, who runs a kind of property magnate type person, and her romance with a gardener. We have Lisa Todd Wexley and her kind of romance with a editor in the editing booth where they're making a documentary. If Michelle Obama doesn't appear in the finale, I'll be very surprised because they've been teasing that all along. But it's just, it's very disparate, right? You know, and they don't all come together at really at any point. I can't recall any time that all of the principal women are suddenly together kind of doing that kind of quippy back and forth. So I think it's, you know, it's pushed and stretched a little thin. By adding too many cooks to the kitchen.
Okay, right. We'll move on to our second show, which demonstrates that Seth Rogen really needs a holiday. It's Platonic. New episodes of season 2 every Wednesday on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
As a woman, I can tell you she is still bugged about it.
Don't go explain to me.
I'm a woman explaining to you all night.
You shouldn't be explaining nothing to nobody.
Listen to me. If you don't let Jenna and I hang out, you know what's going to happen? She's going to think you're hiding something. She's going to hate me. And then you and I aren't going to be friends again.
Okay, don't you think you're being a little dramatic
about it? No, I don't. So you're about to get married again. If we want to stay friends this time, then we're gonna have to do normal adult stuff, like couples dinners and like that.
Fine.
Yeah.
You want to do a couples dinner? Let's do a couples dinner.
Wait, tomorrow
great
night. Let's do a great 7 p.m.
Right, that's Platonic. Yeah, this is the second season. Mm-hmm. I thought the first one, you know, zipped along very nicely.
I really liked the first one. I remember reviewing it at the beginning and saying I just wanted to see more of it. And it got better and better and better with each subsequent episode. And when I saw that the second season was coming out in August, because it's 2 years since the first one debuted, I sat down and made my husband rewatch it with me. And he really liked it as well, right? So what I like about it is, obviously, it's built on the chemistry between its two leads being Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen, both of whom have, you know, a career of working together, right? Mm. They starred in, here it's called Bad Neighbours, in the US it's just Neighbours, but it's called Bad Neighbours here because of the Australian soap opera, which was written and directed by Nicholas Stoller, who is a co-creator of this along with his wife Francesca Del Banco, who plays the real estate agent who's showing Sylvia around all the houses, if anyone is watching the first season. And it is a kind of classic can a man and woman be friends? Except the whole point is they can be friends because
because they haven't gone down the easy route of, oh, well, they won't they. It's not. They're just our friends.
They are just our friends. In the kind of show's lore, they met in university. She is Australian. I mean, obviously she's Australian in real life and she's Australian in the show. She's married to Luke McFarlane, who's a lawyer, Charlie, and has kids with him and is kind of, in the first season, a sort of frustrated housewife, which is a trope in its own right. Mm. But, you know, they explore it, I think, quite well. And he plays, Seth Rogen, I should say, plays Will, who is a brewer who's running this kind of really trendy LA art district pub, but hates the guys he works with because they're not, don't take the beer making seriously enough and so on and so forth. Now, the kind of surprise breakout of the show is the costuming, which is, you know, a bizarre thing to say, but I have, you know, I like.
Well, you mean Seth Rogen's like bizarre crap they put him into? The shorts. Oh my God.
This has been written up by GQ, by Vogue, by like IndieWire as being incredibly stylish. I have to hand it to costume designer Cameron Lennox, who has given interviews about the work on the show and how successful the costumes are. Maybe not to your taste.
Well, it struck me the difference between, because he is very stylish in the studio, but this is almost like that character in the studio just went out and took a load of acid and bought things in a secondhand shop.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hipstery without a doubt, right? But there's something to those shirts that have caught my eye, I have to admit. So like all in, what I just like about it is the easy charm between the pair of them, right? So I guess they must have hit it off when they were working on the Bad Neighbours franchise and stuck with it. But it's just the very pithy banter between them is believable and funny. They both are extremely, you know, foul-mouthed in their approach to comedy. And I get the impression that they're making each other laugh as they're performing and there's a bit of ad-libbing going on. The plot, as season 2 picks up, is Will is living in San Diego. Diego with his fiance, and Sylvia is now planning their wedding for them. And as we heard in the clip there, she's concerned about growing jealousies with Jenna, the new fiance, and what that might mean for their future relationship, as their friendship had fallen apart when Will had married his previous wife. But all in, it's a very, very funny, interesting, pithy, witty, modern look at like friendships between men and women. Yeah. And I hope they never go down the route of putting them together.
Oh no, that would be terrible. And the second episode, when the engagement party is, you know, that little plot twist kind of halfway through, just, you know, was genius, I thought. We'll move on to our third show. James Dempsey wants to increase that tariff rate on Ireland by discussing this one. It's South Park, new episodes of season 27 on Fridays on Paramount Plus. Here's a clip.
Mr. President, sir, the Prime Minister of Canada is here to see you.
Mr. President, why are you placing these new tariffs on Canada? What are you, some kind of dictator from the Middle East?
A dictator from the Middle East? Hey, relax, Doug. I'm just your average Joe. Take a rest.
The people of Canada will not be devalued like this.
Hey, come on. You don't want me to bomb you like I did Iraq.
I thought you just bombed Iran.
Iran, Iraq, what the hell's the difference?
Right, that is I suppose the odd thing is that people are, South Park was still in the air until they did those two episodes about Trump, and that's really put it back on the map again, I suppose.
Yes, now they've had a kind of interesting couple of years where South Park hasn't been on the air. Now they have done a number of specials about like Ozempic and after the pandemic and stuff like that. But they were in a long and protracted negotiation about the production of the show and where it was going to go. Mm. And originally it was going towards HBO, and ultimately Paramount and CBS ended up paying something like, I can't remember, but like to guarantee 5 years of 10 episodes, like maybe $500 million or something like huge. And then as soon as the ink was dry on the deal, they launched season 27. Now, they are supposed to be doing episodes every Friday, but there was a 2 week gap between episode 1 and 2. And there's another 2 week gap between episode 2 and 3. So if they keep up that schedule, which is obviously not great, we're looking at reaching November by the time the season ends, which is a long time to go for this kind of puerile satire. But obviously the attraction here is just, let's say, the no holds barred approach towards their satire. Now, satire, like what is satire, right? Are you looking for like, have I got news for you, kind of sardonic takes on the news? Or are you looking at Donald Trump and his small appendage? Because that's what you're getting here, right? Yeah. So like, it's not exactly Jonathan Swift, right? But like, it's a very swift takedown nonetheless, because that is what these guys do, right? So Trey Parker, Matt Stone, I mean, they've made this show for nearly 30 years. It started off as this crass, puerile, foul-mouthed little boys walking around this Colorado town, but has since expanded to be a much more laser-focused takedown of everyone. Right. Their approach is, they are libertarians, the pair of them. So they don't like liberals. They don't like conservatives. I guess they like money. Right? Yeah. But they are shameless in how they approach their criticism of everything and everyone. Mm. Now, the only problem with criticizing everything and everyone is, what's the point you actually have to make? As in, you know, who is right or who is wrong? That's not really what these guys are interested in telling us. But certainly, if you watch that first episode, which is called Sermon on the Mount, and there's a apostrophe before Mount because it's a joke about Paramount.
Yeah.
They are unafraid to swing big and swing very hard towards the Trump administration in its mockery of it. Mm. Second episode was all about ICE, the immigration and customs, like
enforcement.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also very much poking fun at the quote unquote MAGA face of the women of the conservative movement, and with nods to perhaps the substance and things like that. Right. So this all in, at times I'm watching it in absolute incredulity at the kind of brazenness of how willing they are to just tear shreds off everybody. And at other times I'm watching going, this is really silly And then at other times I'm watching going, I cannot believe they're doing this. Because the turnaround they have in producing the episodes is incredibly quick. The reason why there's a 2 week gap between episodes is because they are making them right now. These are not things that are in the can 6 months. They feel immediately very fresh because they are very, very fresh. And I guess because of that, they feel more audacious for it. But certainly they have recaptured my attention and I'll probably be seeing what they'll be doing for the rest of the season.
It is very interesting, I think, that the Trump administration, which kind of in a way is beyond satire, and none of the traditional satirists have really been able to land a glove on them, only South Park. Because I suppose in a way South Park got down to their level.
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps. It's like, as in, as I said, you have to go in expecting it to be the crassest, silliest, you know, schoolyard type of takedown. But maybe that's what it'll take.
Maybe that is what it'll take. Yeah, it is kind of interesting, all right. Anyway, those three shows are And Just Like That. You can watch the series finale this Friday on Sky Comedy and Now TV, and possibly the entire end of these those three series. Platonic, new episodes of season two come out every Wednesday on Apple TV Plus. And South Park, new episodes of season 27 on Fridays on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.